All right, it's our first time in Kokomo in 2019, and we're with Mayor Greg Goodnight. Thank you again for having us.
Happy New Year. Thank you very much.
Same to you. So big news here. This time next year, you won't be here. you just announced that you will not run for re-election, and I just thought it'd be a good time to kind of get maybe a little bit more on your thoughts about why you decided not to run again.
Sure. There was not one reason, really. I mean, it was a lot in my head. I had kind of added up the reasons why I should and the reasons why I shouldn't and the pros and cons and some of those things. And just, I bounced this around internally and talked to a few different people, just kind of got their opinions over the last 3 or 4 months, and just decided, when elections become about personalities and people having access to grind and things like that, it's not good for the community. And I do care enough about this community that I don't want elections to be about personalities. I want it to be about ideas, and so I think it's best that I don't run this year.
So what do you mean by that? Not. Re-elections by personalities or axe to grind.
Sometimes you have people running for office, whether it be a mayor's office or a city council candidate, that are former employees that didn't get the promotion they wanted, things didn't go their way, all those things, and you can run for the wrong reasons, and I don't want to be a part of that. And, I felt like I've always had the best interest and our staff has had the best interest of the citizens of Kokomo at heart. And sometimes that benefits the people on the south side. Sometimes that benefits a certain neighborhood and sometimes that benefits a certain not-for-profit. But in general, it's what's best for the city as a whole. And sometimes you have to make unpopular decisions to move the community forward, and felt like we've done that, and I don't want to be a part of the people that just have an axe to grind are running for selfish reasons, and I don't want to be a part of that.
So this wasn't a decision you just made back in August or a long time ago this past year. It's something you kind of came to the realization to recently, it sounds like.
Yeah, this was after I was elected to a third term. It was always in the back of my mind. And I give this story that on December 4th, David Tharp came into my office with a newspaper article that showed that I had become the longest serving mayor in the city's history. We only had one other Mayor John Miller that was elected. He was a Republican that was elected to 3 terms, and he left 13 months early. So on December 4th, I became the longest serving mayor in the city's history. And that's great, but I don't know if that's what I want to be remembered as, the one that was there the longest. I want to feel like I was maybe the one that maybe moved the ball forward. And in a lot of ways, I feel like we have.
And being mayor, I mean, people may not realize it's a trying job. I mean, you've been doing this for a while, and it wears on you a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. It's, because there's always people, not in a bad way when you talk about the citizens, in a very good way, but they have their own interests, and it's hard to, it is a juggling act. It is trying to juggle all of the people's, dreams, wishes, desires, opinions, and try to kind of, make decisions based on what's best for the entire group, as I tell people, I try to make decisions based on data and statistics and proven successes, and not on emotions. Sometimes people, they want decisions to be made on emotions, and I don't know that that's a good long-term way to manage a city.
So probably too early to get to this, but do you have some plans of what you'd like to do next? You want to stay in politics?
I really don't know what's next. My joke is my next move is to put together a resume. So I've got 11 months to do that, but I will probably do that in the next couple of months. So it's, see what's next.
So now that this is, you know, this is your last year as mayor, time goes by really fast. So I'm sure you have a checklist of things you'd like to get done.
I do. There's, you know, some of the things that we've started and we've initiated, we want to make sure those are completed. So we're doing some trail work around the watershed, the Wildcat Creek in downtown Kokomo, and that's under construction now. We've announced a hotel conference center. We want to make sure that I probably won't be around for the ribbon cutting, but I want to make sure that we've announced that and that becomes completed. And there's a few other projects that we've started. And you know, some small things, some improvements in our parks at Kokomo Beach that we've already announced, and I want to make sure that those are completed. And I don't want them to become political footballs, or even the small things to become political footballs, where every barking dog and every trash can or every piece of graffiti or a traffic cone becomes a political fight. I think our citizens deserve more than that. And so I didn't want to be, I'll take the my job is to finish the job and I'll take the hits for whatever happens this year. But my goal and intentions is to leave the city in better shape than when I found it. And that's what we're going to do.
I wanted to get maybe a little update on the conference center. I know we haven't seen you in a couple months too,
yeah.
Due to the holidays. And I remember you saying that the beginning part is always getting the permits moving, and you had to move some of the transportation center too.
Yes. We had to relocate our bus system, and we've done that, and that was part of it. Now I think this week we're putting out for bid the demolition of the old bus station. We've acquired all the properties now and have did that a while back. There was just, as we do that, we have to, you know, do phase one, phase two environmental studies. We discovered some, just a little bit of contamination on one of the parcels, one of the small parcels, I believe, on the southwest corner. And so we have to go through that process. And it's redevelopment. Anytime you redevelop a parcel that had previous uses, you never know what you're going to find, but it's something on some of the other challenges we've taken on. This is very minimal, and it's a small bump in the road, but obviously it's nothing that we're not going to that's going to prohibit us from developing the parcel.
Sure. So what's that process like now with the state and being able to move forward?
Well, we have to submit a plan, as far as how we're going to take care of this, and some of it was a little bit of remediation, and most of it is just a monitoring of the site just to make sure that there's no more contamination than they believe that there is.
Mm-hmm. Is there a timeline for any of this right now?
There is, and I, off the top of my head, I don't know if I can give you the exact answer on that. But yeah, there's a little bit, and it's multi-month.
Okay. And are you still wanted to break ground? Was it April?
I wanted to.
You don't mind. I can't remember.
I know. Yeah, we would love to break ground. Hopefully by the first part of the summer, sometime in
okay.
there. It's really not. That's not even. It's just the whole process. We're dealing with a lot of entities. You obviously have a private developer. You have the Convention and Visitors Bureau. You have city government. You have county government. You have the Auto Museum Group. So there's a lot of people working together on this project. And sometimes just trying to kind of corral all those groups makes things a little more difficult, but I think in the end we'll make a better product.
So still a lot of design work, I'm sure utility work, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the background, basically.
Yes. Yep, a lot of things. Like I say, we haven't even demoed the current building at this point.
State of the City address coming up soon for you?
Yes, we have always I piggyback the date pretty close to what Mayor McKillop used to do. So we always use the second council meeting in February, so I believe that's the 25th is that Monday. And so I haven't started putting it together. I usually do that about 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out, but it'll be a recap of last year and what people can see this year. And I think this is a chance for me to talk a little bit into the future, maybe more than just 6 or 12 months into the future. And let's look at the challenges that are going to face Kokomo in the next few years and how we can best do that adapt and become a better city.
You know, I jumped ahead of myself a little bit because that the new bus station moved and is now in effect and has been going on now for a couple months, right?
Yes.
How has that been working in terms of figuring out, coordinating a new spot?
Well, it was really nice. We moved the bus station only really about just catty corner, just into adjacent and almost an adjacent parcel. So, and that was intentionally done so we would not disrupt any of the bus time, so we could keep on the current schedules without having to change anybody's riding patterns and things like that. So all in all, it's a beautiful facility. It's something I think Kokomo should be very proud of, and we tried to make it more iconic with some neon signs and things. And it repurposed the old traffic building. So environmentally, we think we made the right decision there of trying to repurpose it. But so far, so good. And it's right next to City Hall, and we haven't had to change times or anything for the routes.
I saw a city tweet about nearly 100 houses being cleaned up, demolished for the Blight Elimination Program. That's a lot of houses.
Yeah.
And this is done through a grant program.
Yes, and I think we're close to exhausting that grant if we haven't already exhausted it. And, you know, comparatively for you know, older industrial cities, we have our properties are less than a lot of other cities of similar size. But still, it's important that we take those down, those type of properties. And then that was done under a multi-year time frame. I think it was over a couple of years. As I remind our development department, that's the first step. We still need to repurpose those and put those back into productive use. And so, you know, we're working with our neighborhood infill program. We have houses that have just been completed really at the end of the year, and then some that are getting close to being completed and will be up for sale.
How are the other housing projects filling in? I know usually when we come, there's a new announcement for a new project, and I know IU Kokomo, too, is building some student housing as well.
We have a private developer that's building adjacent to the campus, and that will be set up for student housing, but we have a private
developer. Right. It's not the university.
It's not the university. Yep.
That's right, yeah.
Yep. It's private development, and that's under construction now. In fact, I went by last week, and they were framing the second story of a three-story structure. But it's in just across the street on the east side of the campus. And this was the second private student housing project for the campus here in the last 6 years or so. And I think there's over 100 beds. I want to say 120, but I may be off. And these are mainly quads type of housing. But it also, again, cleans up an underutilized parcel at a very visible corner location. So, again, everything we try to do is to redevelop parcels that are underutilized and kind of turn our liabilities into assets. And this is one of those projects.
I have to ask you about the frozen sandlot at Municipal Stadium. I hear it was such a success, you had taken another week longer, right?
We did. We extended another
week.
And this was a nice project. We were able to put an ice skating rink out on our baseball stadium. And we partnered with a not-for-profit, Bridges Outreach, that does after-school programs for the youth here in Kokomo. And so this was a fundraiser for them. They utilized some of their students. Worked there and received compensation, so the kids were able to make a little money for themselves or their families or for Christmas, whatever they chose to do with the money. But so we really just kind of facilitated it, kind of kickstarted it, let them run it, and it turned out to be a really nice amenity for the people of Kokomo and the surrounding areas.
And it's closed now, right?
It's finished. Closed. Yeah, just the last few days. Yes. Yeah, finished up. So, yep.
Any road construction projects? I think people always like to know about what's going on in the city in terms of, is it too early to talk about road construction?
No. We have one project that obviously didn't get finished. We knew it wouldn't. This was a multi-year project over on Markland Avenue. Over this last 2 or 3 weeks, we were able to finish the Washington Street Bridge. We did some improvements to it, some infrastructure, just kind of shored up some things within the bridge, the structural pieces of it, but also did some aesthetic improvements and put some new lighting along the bridge. That is now complete. Obviously, when they're working in December and things, it's harder to get a full day in sometimes or a full week. But that's completed, and now we have work done on Markland Avenue that will probably not be finished up until probably the later part of June. Of this year, but so it's kind of stopped right now. They'll reevaluate the project and start again once weather gets a little nicer.
I wanted to kind of finish up with just your take on the state government, state house legislative session underway. A lot of headlines. The governor just gave a state of the state address, and of course, there's been talk about the human rights laws and teacher pay. What are you looking at here from Kokomo?
Well, I'm glad they're taking on that. You know, you have the hate crimes bill and you have teachers' pay. And when you look at the public education system here in the state of Indiana, and we've experienced that the same thing here in Howard County, it's hard to get young people to go into the teaching profession. And, you know, what I can't think of a better investment than our young people and why we should really do as much as we can to make sure we get the best people to teach our children. So I'm glad they're looking at it. Some of the ideas I've heard, I don't know if it's going to be enough to really tilt the scales in favor of the teachers. But when you look, I'm all about that data. And when you compare our teachers to many of the other teachers in the surrounding states and across the country, the starting pay is low. The amount of teachers that stay in the teaching profession, you know, they go on to other jobs within a couple of years. It needs a little shot in the arm, and so I'm hoping that they find a way to put some pay towards those teachers. On the other, the hate crimes bill, you know, I think it is, we're one of five states that have no serious hate crime legislation. But I try to remind people, it's, you know, obviously it's about the hate crimes. That's kind of a given, but there's other benefits as well. And it's an economic development benefit. We need to be known as a state that welcomes other people. We're not going to allow people to be treated unfairly just because of those things that cause that, whether it be their race or their religion and those other things. And so it's really an economic development tool to say that we take the protection of our citizens very seriously. And so I'm really hoping that we get some legislation that will have a little bit of an impact that way and move us in the right direction.